WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, yo, yo! What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and that's right, I am back from vacay. Mad props to Current Sports engineer Isaac Constance, who held it down throughout this week, Monday through Thursday, with a fantastic slate of sports talk. But I tell you what, it feels good to be back in the saddle, I should say. I was out in Orlando, Florida at Universal Studios. Oh, man, oh man, folks, I'm about to be 26 in October. But I tell you what, every time I visit a theme park, I turn into a little boy once again, all right? So I'll tell you about my vacay. It was a pretty fun one. I may rank it as the number one vacation I've ever had, I must say. Yeah, it was that cool. But as we proceed on the show, we have a few interesting topics to get to. One, concerning breaking news in the Draymond Green case. Folks, this is hot off the press. Breaking news when it comes to Draymond Green, who, of course, was accused of assault by now former Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson. We'll bring that news to you. Also, a former Michigan State running back by the name of Le'Veon Bell. He faces yet another suspension with the National Football League. We'll bring that to you. Also, the NBA has decided to move the All-Star game from Charlotte this upcoming season due to a certain reason, which we'll dive into as well. And hey, we will be talking to an Olympian. That's right, Emily Reagan, former Michigan State rower who will compete in the Rio Olympics in August. She will join us live via phone. So as you see, a pretty hot show. So hey, let's stop wasting time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, we have breaking news concerning former Michigan State men's basketball star Draymond Green, who is now, of course, in the NBA, playing with the NBA's Golden State Warriors. Of course, as you all know by now, Green was involved in an assault case with former Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson. Well, Draymond Green has reached a plea agreement that will allow him to avoid jail time, and reduce the charges he faced for allegedly slapping Jermaine Edmondson to a now noise violation. So that's been announced. As of 12:30 p.m., Green will pay a $500 fine and a $60 restitution fee. He had faced a charge of misdemeanor assault and battery. A noise violation is a civil infraction. Now, Assistant City Prosecutor David Meyer said the deal involves neither a guilty nor a no contest plea, since the infraction is not a criminal charge. So Green gets to go to the Olympics next year. Again, he was charged and arrested on July 10th in East Lansing after police saw him slap MSU football player Jermaine Edmondson. Green is forbidden from contact with Edmondson for 1 year as a part of the plea deal. If he contacts Edmondson within that time frame or is convicted of a new criminal charge within a year, Meyer said, the original charge would be reinstated. We will have more on that story. Again, breaking news, Draymond Green has accepted a plea deal and the charge goes from assault to now a civil infraction of a noise violation. All right, moving on. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell, former Michigan State running back great as well, is facing a 4-game suspension for a violation of the NFL's drug policy. Now, the suspension is the result of a missed drug test, not a failed one, sources said. The appeals process is ongoing, which is why the suspension has not been announced. Now, no date for Bell's appeal has been set, though it is expected that it will be heard before the regular season. If it is overturned, Bell would miss the first 4 games of the year. He missed 3 last year, if you remember, to start the season. Yeah, and yeah, other disturbing news concerning a former Big Ten running back. Dallas Cowboys rookie Ezekiel Elliott, who used to ball out for the Ohio State Buckeyes, has been accused of domestic violence, but has denied the allegation. Now, a woman who claims to be Elliott's former live-in girlfriend has accused the former Ohio State star of assaulting her multiple times over the last week, according to police reports filed Friday morning in Columbus, Ohio. Now, Elliott, who turned 21 on Friday, denied assaulting the woman and told police that he never even lived with her. He has not been arrested or charged with a crime. The woman identified as Tiffany Thompson told the police that Elliott assaulted her while they sat in a parked car early Friday morning. She told police that she had pain in her right wrist and a red mark, but declined medical treatment, according to the report. We'll have more on that story as well. All right, folks, Steve Ernst, that's right, who resigned as Charlotte High School's varsity basketball coach in January amid controversy. He has been hired as interim head men's basketball coach at Olivet College. Now, Ernst was hired by the college in April as the assistant men's basketball coach. He'll step into the head coaching position for next season, according to a news release from the college. Now, Ernst, who graduated from Olivet in 1991, he replaces Chris Coles, head coach at Olivet since 2012. Ian Kinsler and Miguel Cabrera broke the Tigers out of their offensive funk with fifth-inning solo homers off of James Shields, powering Mike Pelfrey to his third win in 19 starts with a rain-shortened 2-1 dub over the Chicago White Sox last night. Now, the game went into a delay in the middle of the seventh inning and was called after 2 hours and 5 minutes of persistent storms. The White Sox, meanwhile, lost for the seventh time in their last eight games. They've scored a total of 10 runs in these seven defeats. Rookie sensation Michael Fulmer takes the mound tonight in game two of the four-game road series. The NBA is moving the 2017 All-Star Game from Charlotte, North Carolina, because of the league's objection to the state's House Bill 2, which limits anti-discrimination protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the state. Now, in a statement, the league said it hopes to reschedule the game for Charlotte in 2019. The statement said the league will announce an alternative venue for next year's event in the coming weeks. And hey, Isaac, I like this one. It's being rumored that they have their eyes set on New Orleans, possibly, for this year's upcoming All-Star Game. So we'll have more on that story as well. All right, Dennis Green. Sad news, folks, here. Dennis Green, who coached the Minnesota Vikings and Arizona Cardinals over 13 NFL seasons, died last night at the age of 67. Green's Vikings made 8 playoff appearances in 10 seasons from 92 to 2001, reaching the NFC Championship game in 1998 and 2000. He led the Vikings to a 15-1 regular season in 1998 and ranked second in franchise history in games coached, wins, and winning percentage, trailing Hall of Fame coach Bud Grant in each category. Green had a career record of 113-94, and he went 4-8 in the playoffs. He was the second African-American head coach in the NFL's modern era. The Vikings hired Green 3 years after Art Shell became the Raiders head coach. You will be missed, Coach Green. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those topics or anything on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? Shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Ah, the great Dennis Green. I feel like many of the casual sports fans out there will remember Dennis for that 44 seconds of audio in which Green just went completely off. They were who we thought they were. That's a quote that is candid in the sporting world. Dennis, again, passed away last night at the age of 67. He coached the Vikings and the Cards over 13 NFL seasons. He also served as head coach of Northwestern, so there's a Big Ten tie there. If you remember, from 1981 to 1985, and Stanford from 1989 to 1991. He was named the Big Ten Coach of the Year, actually, when he was the coach of Northwestern in 1982. It's said that Green passed away from complications of cardiac arrest. And Green's family said in a statement, quote, his family was by his side and he fought hard. So we want to dedicate today's current sports to the life of Dennis Green. He brought us many memories and was a fantastic coach. I'm sure you'll see many tributes via the national sports media throughout this day as well as into the weekend. Folks, it feels so good to be back. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I was on vacation for the last 4 days out in Orlando. Yes, gotta love Florida. Gotta love Florida. It's pretty hot, though, around this time of the year. It gets pretty hot and humid and muggy, but at the same time, if you dress right and you hydrate, you'll be just fine, all right? I probably turn about 3 shades darker than what I was last week. I was out in the sun pretty much every single day throughout this week as I went out to Universal Orlando Studios as well as Islands of Adventure. They're located right next to one another, and you know, it's the summertime, so you see a lot of people around this time of the year take a week off and take their respective families down there, and it was just a great time, just a great time. And for those out there that are regular listeners, you know that my voice may sound a bit off today, all right? I have a sore throat. And the reason why I do is because, first off, I'm a big theme park nut, all right? And whenever I go to a theme park, I instantly turn into a little boy, as I mentioned, right? And I'm a big roller coaster nut. You know, you have to be. I feel like if you're a theme park nut, you have to be a roller coaster nut because that encompasses the majority of the theme park experience. So, you know, when you look at the both parks, Universal Studios and also Islands of Adventure, I mean, there are a ton of rides. And I'm talking about, you know, and again, I turned into a little boy. And a lot of these rides speak directly to my childhood. You know, the first ride we got on was Terminator. And we go from Terminator to Shrek. And then from Shrek, I believe we went to Transformers, which was off the chain. And, you know, then we go to this ride. It's a roller coaster where you shoot straight up. It's called Rip It Rocket, I believe, and it's unbelievable. You literally go up 90 degrees, and, you know, you go straight up and then come straight down. It's crazy, crazy fun. So there were multiple rides like that, and then, you know, you have Islands of Adventure, and you have different sections, you know. It's amazing how they do this, too, because they have different sections throughout the park that mimic a TV series or a movie or vice versa. So you had one part of the park that was dedicated to The Simpsons. And it was mimicked right after the television show, mimicked right after Springfield. You even had a Moe's that looked just like the cartoon. It was so crazy, right? Then you had one section that was just all Jurassic Park, which was off the chain. Then you had one section dedicated to just superheroes, like, you know, Wolverine and Marvel, just a lot of Marvel superheroes. So Storm, you know, you had the Incredible Hulk. I could go on and on and on. It was just crazy. So the thing about me is, once I get on these rides, I just lose my mind. And I scream like the entire time. And yeah, that I scream like a little schoolgirl, all right? And that's why my voice may be a little bit off right now. I have a sore throat, but hey, we're going to power through this. My flight from Florida to Detroit, and then I drove from Detroit back to Lansing. My flight this morning was at 6:18 a.m. Got into Detroit around 9, and then immediately drove from Detroit to Lansing. So it feels so good to be back. And, you know, Isaac Constance, big shout out to him, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's current sports. He held it down these last 4 days, had some incredible guests for you. He had some great speaking topics. I listened to the very first show he had, and I know throughout the week we communicated via text message. I know he had Greg Campion, head coach of the men's basketball program at Oakland University. He also had
Casey Johnson, Chicago Tribune,
right, from Chicago Tribune, which I heard was unbelievable. So Isaac, first off, brother, thank you so much for holding it down. You yourself, as well as Seth Kinker, our fantastic production assistant, who does a great job for us as well. He engineered for you as you got behind the mic. So how was it though, man? You never done like 4 straight days like that.
No, I had done one before, and that was the Washington Redskins discussion above all else. We also had Jason Ruff on and James Edwards of the Lansing State Journal that day, but hosting for a whole week just about was fun. It was exciting. It makes me realize there's a lot that goes into it from your end, but at the same time, I also do have to give a big shout out to Seth Kinker as well.
He's great.
He just did so much for me this past week, really helped us out, and huge props to him for it. But it was a great time, and I'm happy you had a good time. I was so jealous watching your Snapchats because those took me back to my childhood too. The
right?
Harry Potter world, Simpsons theme park seemed so cool, and a show both you and I are huge fans of, Daredevil.
Oh.
That seemed like an awesome exhibit.
Dude, when I saw Nelson and Murdoch, attorneys at law, above one of the restaurants, I went nuts, dude. I was like, I got to put this on my Snapchat story. So yeah, follow me on Snapchat too. I'm always snapping. My Snapchat name is Al0003. So I'm always on Snapchat snapping different
things. How'd you choose that one?
I have no idea. You know, 3 is my favorite number, and you know, that's my Gmail, actually. You know, Amart0003. So yeah, follow me there. All right, folks, we got a lot to get to on today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As I mentioned, we will have an Olympian on the show today. After our first break, we will invite Emily Reagan, former Michigan State rower, who will be competing in the Rio Olympics representing the United States of America. How cool is that? But before we get to Emily, again, we want to bring up the breaking news that came across our desk around 12:30 p.m. Draymond Green, former Michigan State hoop star, now with the Golden State Warriors, he has reached a plea deal that will allow him to avoid jail time and reduce the charges he faced for allegedly slapping former Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson. So it will reduce that assault charge to a noise violation. Green will pay a $500 fine, which is a drop in the bucket for him, and $60 restitution fees. He had faced a charge of misdemeanor assault or misdemeanor assault and battery. A noise violation is a civil infraction. There's a catch here. He is forbidden to contact Edmondson, which I don't foresee that he will do, for 1 year as a part of the plea deal. If he contacts Edmondson within that time frame or is convicted of a new criminal charge within 1 year, the original charge will be reinstated. Now, this is coming from Assistant City Prosecutor David Myers. He released his statement, quote, "The plea agreement reached with Mr. Green is in accordance with our normal plea bargain procedures and guidelines for a case with similar circumstances, evidence, and witness statements. We simply treated Mr. Green no differently than any other defendant that we prosecute," end quote. Now, Green's attorney was not reached for comment, and I think we can probably put this thing to bed now, Isaac. Now, because you actually brought this news to me. I didn't see it at 12:30 until you said, hey, Al, you see the new update. And I thought the new update was, because we already had a Draymond Green story in our Quicket headliners. It was just kind of an update on, you know, they're trying to figure things out and they're trying to make sure it does not interfere with the Olympic date. And now seeing this, I had made the statement that when you look at how everything was laid out and how Jermaine Edmonton at first said, yeah, I want to press charges, then went from that to, I'm good, and then went from that to, you know what, my neck and my back, yeah, I think I want to press charges.
Oh,
right,
neck,
yeah.
My back.
Right.
My neck and my back, oh, I want $150,000.
Right, and that's and that last part from Friday right there is the key, because I thought that this was a guy crying wolf for some moolah. It looks as though what I'm reading right now from the Atlantic State Journal, it looks as though Jermaine Edmonton is not going to get anything in this deal. I don't know, because it doesn't say that Jermaine is going to get any money here, but don't let that fool you. I think that Jermaine may have and Green may have figured out something here with this plea agreement. And I think that Jermaine is going to get something. It's just not being reported in here right now, Isaac.
There's no way Jermaine doesn't get anything. You don't take a plea deal for less charges, less money, and nothing added. That's just not how the legal system works.
I'm looking forward to seeing what that amount is, because I think that the brother is going to get paid. I really do. And I had gone back and forth with a lot of my homeboys out there, a lot of my friends, a lot of my family about this whole situation. And, you know, there was kind of mixed reactions when I said, when I made the statement that, hey, Jermaine is going to get something out of this, because there's witness accounts. You know, he's got his girlfriend there. He's pressing charges. He's talking about his neck is hurting. He's going to get something out of this. And the fact that Draymond Green is a high prolific star in the National Basketball Association. He just signed an $80+ million contract with the Golden State Warriors. There's no way that Jermaine does not walk away from this situation with something in his pocket. And I think a lot of it had to do, even though it was stated that, no, Jermaine had to talk with head coach Mark D'Antonio prior to the year about possibly, you know, if his role doesn't increase, possibly going somewhere else. I think that the reason, I think that Jermaine was going to come back with this team. I really do. Senior year, why not? You know what I mean? You've been here, you know, throughout the majority of your college career. Why not go out? Your girlfriend's here. Why not? You know what I mean? I think that if this didn't happen, Jermaine would have come back for a senior year. But the reason why he decided to opt out and say, you know what, I want to transfer, is because that allows him to really pursue this case and get something out of the situation. So what are your thoughts, though? What are your takeaways, Isaac?
Yeah, I thought so, too, originally. One thing that changed my mind was actually the reaction of MSU football players to this case. I didn't see the tweets myself, but I was told by friends that Malik McDowell posted something, which was, I'm forgetting which emoji, but it kind of hinted at, crybaby, boy crying wolf, whatever you want to call it. But he was hinting that Jermaine Edmonton was out for his neck and back. And then other MSU football players posted things along the same lines. And with that, maybe Jermaine Edmonton, I always had pleasant interactions with the guy in the locker room. He was always smiling and stuff.
Definitely.
But maybe he wasn't that well-liked by his teammates. And there could have been another reason for him pulling out of this team.
And that was my that's the point I wanted to bring up as well, because you saw, like you just mentioned, that bite that you just played from Friday? I actually got that bite from a former Michigan State football player. Tawan Jones tweeted out that snippet from Friday. And I'm like, oh, that is perfect. That's perfect. But you saw a lot of tweets out there from football players saying, yo, dude, I mean, Jermaine, that's just, you don't do that.
You're a football player and you got slapped.
Right, like, come on, dude. That's first off, that didn't even sound right. But and you look at the history that Draymond Green has with other Michigan State athletes, particularly the football team. Heck, he was in town because Denzel Drone was getting married that weekend. Draymond Green has a very close relationship with many of the Michigan State football players, has never had a run-in to our knowledge other than this one. So, yeah, Jermaine, it seems like, from what we've seen out there in social media world and in other accounts, it seems like Jermaine Edmonton was not a well-liked MSU football players. So, yeah, I'm curious to know what the figure is when as time goes on. But, folks, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Well, we have to talk about another former MSU athlete who has had a run-in, not with the law in particular. Well, last year he did. But this one, when it comes to the organization in which he works for, the National Football League. If you haven't heard, Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh Steelers running back and former Michigan State running back great, is facing a 4-game suspension for a violation of the NFL's drug policy. Now, the suspension is the result of a missed, not failed, but missed drug test, which in my eyes is the same thing. The appeals process is ongoing, which is why the suspension has not been officially announced. No date for Bell's appeal has yet been set. And if you remember, going back to last year, Bell was suspended for the first 3 games of 2015, which was later reduced to 2 games for a violation of the NFL's substance abuse policy after he was arrested on charges of marijuana possession and DUI in the summer of 2014. So for me, you know, I want to throw a question out there. I got a few questions when looking at the situation for Le'Veon Bell. The first one, is this a question of idiocracy or cry for help? Because anytime you look at a man in Le'Veon Bell, first off, a man, when you evaluate his time here at Michigan State, a man who had a squeaky, clean resume, had no run-in, no run-in with the law, wasn't involved in any fights. I mean, he was a joy to interview. I covered Le'Veon when he was a player here at Michigan State. Absolutely was a joy to cover. One of my favorite athletes I've ever covered. He goes to the NFL, and I remember the situation, too. I forget, LeGarrette Blount. What a fitting name, right? LeGarrette Blount. He was in the car with LeGarrette and another female, and they were driving, getting high, smoking weed, and they drive by a policeman. And the policeman smells a heavy odor of marijuana, pulls him over, and they're headed, this is like preseason, too. They're like supposed to be headed to like, they're supposed to get on the plane, I believe. And anyway, they get pulled over and they get charged with, you know, they find weed in the car and it blows up in Le'Veon's face. He appeals. He gets a 3-game suspension for the start of 2015. I mean, it was just all bad, all bad. So you would think that someone who is as talented as Le'Veon Bell, someone who prior to that incident who really had a squeaky clean resume up to that standpoint. You would think that it would be a wake-up call. Like, okay, I'm putting that in the past. It's behind me. I'm moving on. I'm one of the best running backs in the National Football League. It's a question for me, folks, of maturity. Because once you get caught the first time, you got to wake up. You know, fool me once, shame on me. But fool me twice, I mean, it makes no sense to me. Makes no sense. In this case... It's a situation where, fool me twice, shame on me again. You know what I mean? That saying goes out the window here. So it's a question of, is it a question of idiocracy or cry for help? Because I do think, you know, this is the second time that Le'Veon has been involved in a situation like this. Now, again, I'm gonna go back to this statement. Again, the suspension is the result of a missed drug test, not a failed one. But you know how important drug tests are when you are an elite athlete in the NFL. Why'd you miss it? When I'm reading this story, to me it seems like you knew that you were going to fail this, so you decided just not to go. That's what it seems like to me. That's the way I read into this. A missed drug test is a failed one at the end of the day. Tomato, tomato. So, idiocracy or cry for help? I think the dude needs help. I do think he does. And I bring this question up because my frat brother, Aaron, you know, we were chatting about this morning on GroupMe, and he brings up that, you know, one of my frat brothers said, oh, he's an idiot. And then Aaron comes in and says, well, you know, I think it's a cry for help as well. I wouldn't call him an idiot. The situation for me is you got to be smarter than that. You know, you can't mess up twice. That's ridiculous to me. You got to learn after the first time. But I do think he needs help if he keeps on going down this road. But it comes down to this question, though. How important is football to you? Simple as that, because you're hurting your team. Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have done a great job. And you know, first off, they took a shot on you, you know, coming out of Michigan State. They really like you. And you equate direct success based on what you've done on a gridiron. I mean, in 2015, this is a guy who rushed for over 1,000 yards, 1,361 in 2014. 16 games, full season, 2015. Played just 6 games, 556 yards on the ground. You're hurting your team. You're hurting your team's success. So how important is football to you? Simple as that. And for me, and this is my opinion, folks, the fact that Le'Veon Bell has been caught smoking weed, you know, as a young player in the league, and the fact that he's missed a drug test now, it makes me go back to his time at MSU. How prevalent, because this wasn't a habit, I refuse to believe this was a habit that he just picked up. I want to know how prevalent his marijuana use was here at Michigan State University, because let's not be naive here. Hey, Le'Veon Bell, if he's doing it now in the NFL, you better believe this habit goes back to his college days as well. All right, let's not be stupid here. So, you know, what happens next? Le'Veon will appeal. If they reduce the suspension for a second time offender, you know, and if you don't take a scheduled test, it's like you failed it, like I said. If they reduce that suspension for a second time offender, then you have to do that for everyone that comes after. I don't think they're reducing this one, folks. So does this change the perception of Bell in the eyes of MSU fans? I want to know. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Does this incident change the perception, and the prior one as well, change your perception of Le'Veon Bell? Call in, folks. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with an Olympian, Emily Reagan, former Michigan State rower who will compete in the Rio Olympics. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I'm getting pretty excited, folks, because normally throughout the summer you have a ton of baseball. You know, we can talk Tigers all day. We can talk Tigers every – I feel like we do talk Tigers every day here on the show because it's just nothing else going on. You know what I mean? The PGA Tour, always fun to talk about. I know you held it down on Monday. Man, I really wanted to weigh on that British Open as well. How fun was that watching – Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson go at it on Sunday. It was a two-horse race throughout all of that tourney, really. So,
well, you know, I'm not the golf fan that right. you are, but I was right. glued to my seat. My eyes were glued to the TV.
Oh, it was great.
Watching that battle back and forth, one versus two, it was just one of the best individual matchups I've ever seen across sports.
Oh, it was great. Now, you guys have had a fantastic discussion about it on Monday. So normally throughout a regular summer, you know, you have a lot of baseball talk, a lot of golf talk. You know, we'll chat a little bit about the Lugnuts as well, Lansing United, you know. But you're really, you know, man, this summer is different because, hey, every 4 years, it approaches, it comes. And what I'm talking about is the Summer Olympics. This year, the Olympics will take place out in Rio de Janeiro. And there's a lot of conversation surrounded around the Olympics because of a lot of positive things, but a few negatives as well with the political unrest over there and the Zika virus. But it's going to be a great event nonetheless. I'm always excited whenever the Olympics come. And again, folks, they will start on August 5th and will run to the end of the month on August 21st. And right now, folks, I'm excited because it's rare when this happens, when you get to chat with an Olympian. But right now we have one on the show. Her name is Emily Reagan. She is a former Michigan State University rower who will compete in the Rio Olympics. How exciting is that? She joins us right now on the line. Emily, welcome to WKER's Current Sports. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic. Emily, first question. I mean, how does that feel when you – has it really set in that you are an Olympian and you will be competing in a blink of an eye, really, you know, at the beginning of August out in Rio?
Definitely not. And listening to you talk about it is making me really excited.
Crazy, right? Now, I want to start with your earliest days in rowing. You are a native of Buffalo, New York. How did you get into the sport? And were you competitive in other sports as well?
Yeah, I played a ton of sports in high school and growing up. I was a swimmer. I played basketball. I'm from a really big basketball family. All three of my siblings played basketball in college. But I kind of was burnt out of sports and didn't really want to continue doing sports. And that was sort of a big draw of Michigan State for me, was to be able to be part of the Big Ten atmosphere and go to football games and just enjoy the college atmosphere but not be a part of a team. And I went to my orientation program in the summer leading up to my freshman year. And at the very end, there's the activities fair. And I went through it, and my mom went through it separately. And my mom started talking to the people at the rowing booth. And I don't remember there being one, but the rest of the summer, my mom bugged me and just was like, you need to row. And I actually was pretty stubborn and didn't want to row. But when I moved in, I was roomed blind with a girl, and she's 5'1", and I'm 6'2". Mm-hmm. And our moms, and in rowing, there's a coxswain who's short, and rowers are tall. But our moms ended up ganging up on us, and we ended up trying out together.
So you're telling me, Emily, that rowing wasn't even your thing. You were really a late bloomer when it comes to getting into the sport of rowing.
With rowing, I think it's kind of average now because of Title IX to start in college.
Right.
It's really opened a lot of doors for women in rowing. But I guess in terms of other sports, yeah, definitely.
Certainly. Now, Emily, when you talk about the sport itself, what is it about the sport that you love?
Oh, gosh. A lot. It can be really challenging because you train a lot and you don't get to race as often as you might compete in other sports. But there's something really special about being on the water. It's always beautiful settings where we get to row. There's just something gorgeous to look at all the time. And in rowing, there's something really special when you get the boat, like, moving at its best. And it doesn't always happen, and it's always a challenge to try and figure out how to make it go faster and faster. But when you get it moving right, it feels really awesome, and it feels light and just like you could go forever.
Now, Emily, how did you wind up at Michigan State? I mean, you briefly touched on it, but you've been away from MSU since 2010, and you've been competing with U.S. Rowing since then. I mean, how did you wind up, though, here in East Lansing?
So I got this question a lot in college, because a lot of people will be like, well, why Michigan? Like, that's such a weird place for you to want to go. But first of all, I personally think the state of Michigan is beautiful and an awesome place. But I also grew up spending a lot of time in Michigan. My grandfather is originally from Grand Rapids. And my great-grandmother, she lived in Grand Rapids until she passed away. So we would always visit. So Michigan, not necessarily like a totally off the map sort of place for me, but when I came to East Lansing and I saw the campus, I just kind of fell in love, and I really loved everything about it.
And also, what about your background with U.S. Rowing? Because I believe U.S. Rowing is based in Princeton, right?
Yes.
How did you get involved with that?
Well, the spring of my sophomore year, my college coach, Matt Weiss, and the University of Virginia college coach encouraged me to try out for what's known as the under 23 national team. So that's sort of a step below the senior national team. Mm-hmm. And it's for people who are under 23 years old. I got destroyed that summer when I went to that camp, and I wasn't prepared for what it was going to be.
Yeah.
But it kind of gave me motivation to sort of want to see how far I could go in rowing. And the fall of my senior year, I went to a national team identification camp, and our head coach, Tom, invited me from there to come out to Princeton after I graduated.
Wow, that is absolutely fantastic. Now, you know, I'm always interested to ask this question because I remember we had Tori Franklin actually on the show, former member of the Michigan State track and field team, and she was competing out in the Olympic trials in the triple jump. And she was talking about how the margin of error to try and make the Olympic team is so slim. You've got to be near perfect. When it comes to rowing, what did it take for you to qualify for the Rio Games, Emily?
Oh, a lot of hard work. So rowing is, it's a kind of a combination of a trials process and a camp process that you would get for a team like a basketball team or a soccer team. Mm-hmm. And so we spent the last year specifically, but 4 years training as a team. And our coach gathers information throughout the years on how we're performing to sort of rank us. And then the last week before the team gets named, we do a ton of selection and we race athletes against each other over and over and over again. And it's exhausting and it's stressful. And but it ends up, it's a difficult thing to go through, but in the end, it has worked really well for our team. And we've produced a lot of really fast boats over the last few years.
Emily, how long have you had your eyes on the Olympics?
For definitely at least 5.5 years since I've been training with the national team. And 2012 is a little soon for me. It's a sport where the more you do it, the better you get, the more time you spend, the faster you're going to be. And it was kind of eye-opening for me when I didn't make the team in 2012 because I just didn't have self-confidence then. And I've learned a lot since then, and now I've been able to just kind of gain on the things I've learned and help me make the team this time around.
Folks, if you are just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Emily Reagan, former Michigan State rower who will compete in the Rio Olympics next month. Now, Emily, you were a part of a U.S. women's eight that set a world record time at World Rowing Cup 3 in Switzerland, and that record still stands. Emily, how does it feel to have your name in the record books? That's got to be pretty surreal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the boat that we raced at the World Cup that year was, you know, after the Olympics, a lot of people retire, and that boat was full of a lot of rookies. Some girls had never raced internationally before, and others were racing in their first Olympic class event. And so we just kind of went to Lucerne with no expectations at all. And we totally surprised ourselves, and it was a really fun time.
Man, that's got to be unbelievably cool. Now, Emily, for people who are listening out there and also myself who aren't really knowledgeable about the sport of rowing, can you tell us a bit about the event you'll be competing in out in Rio?
So I'm competing in the women's eight, which is actually 9 athletes. There are 8 rowers and a coxswain. The coxswain steers the boat and calls a race plan and makes sure that we know where we're going, because in rowing, we actually face away from the finish line. Mm-hmm. so we don't ever really know exactly where we are, and that's what the coxswain does.
Okay, gotcha.
And so our races take place over 2,000 meters. And you basically just, it takes about 6 minutes, somewhere between about 5:50 and 6:05, depending on wind conditions on that day. And you basically just go as hard as you can for those 6 minutes. It's like probably racing the mile or a little longer than a mile in track.
Now, you have to be in incredible shape to sustain the endurance that it takes to compete in this sport, Emily. I mean, as far as your workout routine and from a physical standpoint, how have you been training to make sure that your body is in tip-top shape for what's about to happen next month?
Well, for about the last year, I've had maybe 5 days off total. We do a ton of volume, and right now we're kind of getting towards the end of our training phase. We start racing the right after the opening ceremonies. We race the first week of the Olympics. And so all of that volume we've put in over the last year to 4 years, basically as long as we've been training, that helps build our aerobic base. And now as we're getting closer to racing, we're going to build intensity and start doing more and more race pieces at higher stroke rates. So if you're a cycler, that means like you're going more, I guess, your cadence is coming up, and we're going to be going harder and harder as opposed to just kind of going out for a jog.
Talk about endurance. I tell you, now 4 years ago, you went with your teammates to watch the London Olympics. How did it feel to be that close to the action, but yet not compete?
Motivational, for sure. It was really awesome to watch my teammates because they were really successful in London. The women's eight won a gold medal, our women's quad won a bronze medal, and our women's pair finished just a tenth of a second out of the medals. And so it was really exciting to watch them race, but at the same time it was kind of, I can be here in 4 years. I know what they did, and now I can take from what I've learned from them and hopefully add it to my journey.
Again, Emily Reagan, former Michigan State University rower, who will compete in the Rio Olympics. Now, I want to get to this topic, Emily, because it's a big topic of conversation. I kind of mentioned it as before I brought you on here on the air. Now, a number of athletes have decided not to compete in Rio because of the Zika virus in that country. Are you concerned about that? And did you consider maybe not going?
Did I consider not going? Not at all. Not 1 second did I consider not going. I think if you look at the athletes who have backed out because of Zika, you're going to find the majority of them are from sports where they have something that's better for them than the Olympics. Mm. So in basketball, you've got the NBA championships. In golf, you have your PGA Tour. But for us as rowers, the Olympics are the absolute height of a career that you can have. And so I never, ever once thought about backing out because of that, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I'm so fortunate to have this spot on the team.
Does it scare you at all, Emily, though? I mean, because you can't turn on the TV without hearing, you know, some conversation about the Zika virus and about the political unrest and about the water pollution. Does it make you a bit unnerving as the dates approach?
I mean, not personally for me. I know it's a concern, but our team doctors have kind of briefed us on precautions that we can take, and we're going to do everything we can to stay healthy. And I mean, in the end, it is a virus, and I'm not personally planning on having kids anytime soon. And so it will move through your system at some point. And so I think that's not really, I think, where I'm focused right now.
And you talked about the doctors. What type of precautions have they told you guys to take?
Well, I mean, mostly be smart, you know, wear bug spray, but also you know, wear long, loose, light-colored clothing in terms of mosquito protection. And then we're on the water, so we have to be concerned about the water quality because we get splashed from people's oars. And so for that, we have disinfectant sprays. We have plastic bags that we're going to put our water bottles in, and some other things as well.
Okay. All right, Emily, before we get you out of here, another alum from the Michigan State rowing program will be in Rio, Christy Dais, who will be a part of the USA medical team in the Athletes Village. Are you friends with Christy? What's that relationship like between you guys?
I actually haven't had the opportunity to meet her. Mm. I think she graduated a year or two before I came into the program, but I have talked to her since, and I'm going to, after racing is over, try and head over to the medical area at the village and hopefully meet her.
That'll be fantastic. Well, we have to get you back on to talk about your experience out there. And for those out there that want to see you and your unbelievable squad in action, can you tell us about the schedule for Rio? I know trials again begin on August 6th, and finals for the men's and women's eights are on Saturday, August 13th. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so our final is at 11 a.m. Rio time on August 13th. So that's 10 a.m. on the East Coast. And then our racing actually starts on August 8th. Rowing starts on the 6th. So our first race will be August 8th. And if we win our heat, we advance directly to the final. And if not, we'll compete in what's called the repechage, which is a last chance to make the final on August 10th.
Gotta love that. Emily, can you just pick one word to describe this moment and why?
The entire
experience. Just being on the team and just the entire experience.
Surreal right now. Surreal is what it is, because it's just, you know, a dream you worked for so long.
That's so true. Well, I tell you what, we'll be watching. We will be rooting for you. Again, folks, we've been talking with former Michigan State rower Emily Reagan, a member of the USA Women's 8 rowing team, heading to Rio for the Summer Olympics. The finals are on Saturday, August 13th. And that morning, you can join fans for a viewing event in the north end zone of Spartan Stadium starting at 8 a.m. Emily, on behalf of all of us here at WKAR's Current Sports, we are wishing you good luck. And thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's Current Sports by talking about another former Big Ten running back who is in a bit of a pickle. And we'll reflect a bit. It's Friday. Reflection Friday is coming at you. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. If you're just now joining us, shame, 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 shame on you. We just finished chatting with Emily Reagan. Yes, she will be competing as a member of the USA Women's 8 rowing team heading to the Rio Summer Olympics. How cool was that, Isaac? Oh, man. I love talking with athletes who compete at that level, because that's like the creme de la creme, dude. I mean, the Olympics, that's the best of the best. The best in the world. So just a really, really cool interview. Again, if you missed it, you know that you can check out each and every Current Sports radio show after it airs via our podcast, which can be heard on WKAR.org. We usually post it around 3 p.m. If you missed that interview, hey, just simply log on your laptop, smartphone, whatever you got, and listen. It was a great, great interview. So wishing Emily a ton of luck. All right, folks. Well, to close out today's show, just 5 minutes left, Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, former Ohio State running back. Great. And now a member of my Dallas Cowboys as a rookie. Zeke has been accused of domestic violence, but has denied the allegation. A woman who says she's Elliott's former live-in girlfriend has accused the former Ohio State star of assaulting her multiple times over the past week. Elliott, who turned 21, denied assaulting the woman and told police that he never even lived with her. He has not been arrested or charged with a crime. The Cowboys are aware of the police reports, but have not officially commented, I should say, and the NFL will review the case under its personal conduct policy. The woman, identified as Tiffany Thompson, told the police that Elliott assaulted her while they sat in a parked car early Friday morning. According to one police report, she told police that she had pain in her right wrist and a red mark, but declined medical treatment. Four witnesses, including one who was sitting in the car at the time of the incident, told police
they did not observe an assault. Thompson accused Elliott of striking her several times, leaving bruises on her arms over a five-day period from Saturday to Wednesday. According to a second police report, Elliott, however, told the police that he never touched Thompson in a harmful manner, saying she suffered the bruises during a bar fight. So it's a lot of he said, she said. We don't really know if Elliott did assault Ms. Thompson. And we just don't have enough evidence here to really, for me to really comment. I mean, this could be a case. It could be a case where, you know, you have a young woman who dated Ezekiel Elliott, you know, and Elliott is a high draft pick in the NFL. He's going to make a lot of money playing for the Cowboys. We could have a young woman here maybe crying wolf and trying to get some moolah out of it. Or we could have yet another example of a sad epidemic in the National Football League where there are many football players who cannot contain that aggression off the field and have been directly involved with domestic violence issues. If this is true for Elliott, I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's not. Again, I say it again. I'm hoping it's not. But if it is true, this will be a sad way to start his very promising NFL career. So as this story unfolds throughout the weekend, we will certainly bring that to you on next week's show. Also have to bring this story to you. The NBA is moving the 2017 All-Star game from Charlotte, North Carolina, because of the league's objection to the state's House Bill 2, otherwise known as HB 2, which limits anti-discrimination protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the state. Now, in a statement, the league said it hopes to reschedule the game for Charlotte in 2019. There are many layers to that conversation, specifically when it comes to House Bill 2 that I wanted to get to today. But with 2 minutes left, it will be mission impossible for me to do that. So we will postpone that conversation for Monday as well. But hey, it's Friday. You guys know how we end each and every Friday edition of Current Sports. We love to reflect on the week that was here on the show and beyond. It is now time for Reflection Friday. Well, Isaac, really the only thing I have to reflect on, my man, is just my vacation. I had a great vacation. It was fantastic getting a chance to max tax and relax by the pool and ride the countless rides at Universal Studios. And I tell you what, though, whenever I take a vacation, it's so enlightening because I get to just, you know, especially a place like Orlando, Florida, because you see the melting pot that is the United States of America. I mean, I saw so many people and got a chance to meet so many people from various parts of our great nation and the world. So I had a great vacation. It's good to be back, though, and you held it down, my man.
Oh, I appreciate it. And actually, that'll make me think and reminisce back on my vacation a few weeks ago to Washington, D.C. And just like Orlando, you mentioned a melting pot, how diverse it is. It's so cool going to cities like that. They're American cities. They've got a universal culture just about. And funny enough, you were at Universal Studio of all places. But my reflection, I guess I'll just reflect on the British Open. It was one of the best duels we've ever seen across sports, like I mentioned. Unbelievable. Congrats to Stenson.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on Stenson as well. That was a fantastic tourney. All right, folks, we'll be back at it on Monday. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a great weekend. And be easy, people.